peace process industry. And there is not a consensus on a solution, on the two-state solution. There is a consensus on vague formulas and language to conceal unbridgeable disagreements. So people talk about a Palestinian state based on the 1967 borders, or a just resolution to the refugee problem. These are easy slogans to get a consensus around, but they have proven time and again impossible to implement in detail, because Israel's notion of based on the 1967 borders includes annexing East Jerusalem and entire area around it. Israel's notion of a just resolution to the refugee problem, and not just Israel, but a lot of the mainstream American opinion and others, is that Palestinian refugees, uniquely in the world, should not be given the right to return. Unlike in the former Yugoslavia, where hundreds of thousands of refugees were returned to areas controlled by antagonistic ethnic groups with international supervision and assistance. And so the way I look at it is that Palestine is a failed partition. It has been a disaster, like many other partitions. Today you have a population of 11 million. Nobody has mentioned that inside Israel there are 1.5 million Palestinians, nominally citizens of Israel, but with diminishing rights. They started off with second-class citizenship, and their rights are diminishing. And just the other day, Tzipi Livni said, if a Palestinian state is created, then the Palestinian citizens of Israel will find their future there. In other words, it's now becoming mainstream. Remember that Tzipi Livni is called in the American press the dovish candidate who represents the peace camp in Israel now. She's calling for the ethnic cleansing of Palestinian citizens of Israel. What I expect will happen if a Palestinian state is established is that that will spark very quickly the ethnic cleansing of the 1.5 million Palestinian citizens of Israel. Because Avigdor Lieberman has made it very clear. He said, what's the point of a two-state solution if it doesn't result in a purely Jewish state? Israel cannot be satisfied with a state in which there is 20% of the population who are non-Jews, and Palestinians who are 50% of the population and growing in 10, 15 years, they will be 60%, cannot be satisfied in a state on 20% of historic Palestine. The two-state solution is an illusion, and we have to look at other countries where there have been similar problems. I've argued for a long time. Northern Ireland is a model. Ireland, in fact, the island of Ireland, is nominally a two-state solution, but with none of the features of Bantustanization that we see in Palestine. And of course South Africa, where Bantustanization was tried to avoid the inevitable of majority rule. So that's where I think we have to go. We have to embrace that and stop hiding behind the illusion of that everybody knows what the answer is. And by the way, nobody ever asks Palestinian refugees or Palestinian citizens of Israel, or even Palestinians in Gaza, or Palestinians in the West Bank, or Palestinians in the United States, what they think the solution is. This is a consensus except the ones that I think Norman accurately called collaborators. And Hamas has, yes, opened itself to two-state solution-like ideas, but they've not embraced the Clinton or other parameters that have been mentioned. Sorry for taking more time, but because it's two against one on this issue.
I'm not going to argue that now because I think it's going to become a diversion from why people are gathering here today. And even though it is a worthy topic of discussion, I don't think now is the place for it.
We'll come back into it.
I have my space back too. What I want to address is the reasonable division of labor. It was asked what Palestinians should do and what we should do. Since I'm here and I'm not Palestinian, I'm an American citizen, I'd like to speak briefly about what I think we can do. I think the most important challenge for all of us is exactly what's going on now. We have to get the facts out. There has to be an accurate accounting of what is the obstacle to achieving a just and lasting peace. There's so much misrepresentation, so much outright falsification of the record. On the other hand, there's excellent grounds, I think, for optimism. I was quite surprised during the 2006 war in Lebanon, even though the mainstream media overwhelmingly supported the Israeli blitzkrieg against Lebanon, the polls show that the American people were evenly divided on responsibility for the war. Now, lo and behold, when this latest Israeli blitzkrieg began, there was a poll done by Rasmussen. It was, I think, the second day of the war. And I'm sure all of you remember the second day it was just wall-to-wall Israeli propaganda. They had prepared for it for 6 months. There was a lot of gloating about it in the Israeli press, how this time they had selected women to be their spokespersons to give a softer look to the Israelis. And you would think, 6 months of preparation, they had total control over the media, you would think the American people would overwhelmingly support Israel. Well, the poll showed on the second day of the war, before all the atrocities started to come out, the American people were divided, about 41-43, as to who was responsible, Israel or the or should Israel have launched the attack. It was around 41-43. Among Democrats, surprisingly, overwhelmingly against Israel's decision to attack. What does that tell us? It tells us, I think, that the edifice, the propaganda edifice, is beginning to fall apart. It's falling apart for many reasons, but I think the main reason is more and more people know more and more of the truth about what's happening. It's due in part, obviously, to the alternative media. You turn to the New York Times, if you bother to turn to the New York Times, you turn to it for laughs. It's like the comic strips. The day that the massacre occurred in that school, their correspondent, Isabel Kirshner, she writes the article as it appeared on the internet. It said the school was attacked, as many as 30 people may have been killed. But she said, we can't trust those Palestinian numbers because they've been known to use them for propagandistic purposes in the past. That was the news article. Okay, let's agree for argument's sake, Palestinians have in the past misrepresented numbers. What is Israel's record? Has it ever accurately represented any number on the conflict? Between June 1982 and September 1982, the best estimates are between 18 and 20,000 Palestinian and Lebanese, overwhelmingly civilians, were killed. What was the official Israeli estimate? 2,500. During the July-August 2006 war in Lebanon, all the estimates showed approximately 1,000 Lebanese civilians were killed, approximately 180 to 250 Hezbollah militants were killed. 250 is the Human Rights Watch number, 180 was an American Army study number. What was the Israeli figure? 750 of the 1,200 killed were Hezbollah militants. All of their numbers are preposterous. But the fact of the matter is, the truth is now getting through. By the third or fourth day of the war, for all of Israel's preparation, for all of its, as Ali put it, blonde bombshell spokespersons, it was all falling apart. And it's falling apart rapidly because many people know much more. I think the challenge for all of us is to tell the truth. You know, there was a famous revolutionary from Guinea-Bissau, a fellow by the name of Amilcar Cabral, and he had a famous line, "Tell no lies, claim no easy victories." And that's what we have to do. Tell no lies, stick scrupulously to the facts, claim no easy victories, and I think, I remain confident, that if we tell the truth, we apply uncontroversial principles of justice, principles which have been embraced by the entire international community. If we tell no lies, stick to the truth, apply basic principles of justice, I do think we can win over public opinion to this cause.
Just a few words on the question of what it will take to solve this conflict. I do disagree with Ali on the desirability of a one-state solution. I think that a two-state solution is the best way out by far, and in fact the one-state solution makes me very scared. But I don't want to get into that in any detail. The question is, what can we do to facilitate a two-state solution before it's too late, if it's not already too late? And I think the answer is pressure from the United States. Israel itself is not going to move towards a meaningful two-state solution. The only hope is if the United States begins to lean on Israel and to lean on the Palestinians, but mainly on Israel, very hard. But that's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen mainly because pro-Israel forces in this country will not allow it to happen. And I must say that having studied this issue for about 6 years now, I am baffled by the behavior of the American Jewish community on the whole subject of Israeli policy towards the Palestinians. Why more American supporters of Israel, especially American Jews, don't understand that the present policy is self-defeating and potentially disastrous and escapes me. See, Walt and I are constantly accused of being enemies of Israel, people who are trying to delegitimize Israel. My view is that people who talk the way we do, are friends of Israel. We're not interested in delegitimizing Israel or seeing it pushed off the face of the earth. Our argument is that these so-called friends of Israel are pushing Israel and supporting Israel as it pursues a policy that is disastrous. Is anyone over said? It continues on the present trajectory, is going to end up as an apartheid state. This is not good. Why aren't supporters of Israel in this country standing on the rooftops and saying to Israeli leaders that you are pursuing a completely misguided set of policies, and it's absolutely imperative that you do something to settle this conflict once and for all, even if you don't give a hoot about the Palestinians? For Israel's sake, you should want to settle this conflict. But the fact of the matter is that if we settled the conflict, it would be good for the Israelis, it would be good for the United States, and most importantly, it would be good for the Palestinians. One final word on this. This is a win-win-win situation. While a greater Israel that is an apartheid state is a lose-lose-lose situation. And again, why more people don't recognize that among the pro-Israel forces in the United States is just something that baffles me.